I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Did you see the Lord's Prayer in the news? It was actually on TV, on the news stations last week. You want to feel really smart? Answer this Jeopardy question. Matthew 6:9 says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, this be thy name." Hallowed. What? Yeah. What? Well, it's what is hallowed. Yeah. Seems it stumped the panel.
Adjectives 200. Matthew 6:9 says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, this be thy name." Hallowed be thy name.
How sad is that? Kenny Bean pointed out first service, two of them are in the red, losing money. And one guy, the other, like, don't have much. I don't think it's the brightest panel. But nonetheless, if you're watching, I mean that in all love. But just tell them the truth. What kind of commentary is that on the state of us? Well, last Sunday was Father's Day, and we took a look at our Father, that relationship we have in heaven, which he says is his throne. You know, enthroned, that's his authority as Lord. But that's just the first half of the first line of the Lord's Prayer. And being that every Sunday is our Father's Day, I thought I just had to follow it up by finishing the sentence, okay? Hallowed be your name. So I was so shocked when I said, told Noah, that's what I'm preaching on. And then I turn on the news that night and hallowed be thy name is in the news. It's just weird. Just one of those funny little weird coincidences. Like it just feels like Jesus sitting next to me on the couch nudging me like, timing of that funny. So let's get right to not feeling guilty, shall we? Did you hallow our Father's name this week? If not, you're not alone. We know that prayer is right and true and the thing to do. But let's be honest, prayer can feel like an intrusion in our busy, chaotic lives. Most believers, I know this from experience, most believers feel convicted about it. But even with good intentions, rarely make enough time for it consistently. And it is definitely because of those WMDs, right? Those weapons of mass distraction. You got your Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, but also family, good things, family, friends, work, school, YouTube. Wait, did I already say YouTube? Netflix. So here's the thing that I've noticed. We mostly settle for feeling guilty. Like somehow that makes up for it. Well, I feel guilty about it, so that didn't fix anything. And if that's you and you want to feel really guilty, well, just recall that the Apostle Paul wrote that we should rejoice always and, say it with me, pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. And if you're ever wondering, like, I wonder what the will of God is for me. Oh, this is. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the perfect response. That's short, sweet, and seemingly impossible. Pray without ceasing must not mean what we think it means, because it can't mean pray without taking a breath, pray without eating, pray without bathing, pray without sleeping, okay? What does it mean? It means that we need to make prayer a part of the fabric of our everyday life, our daily living. It just needs to flow in and out of it organically. It just needs, the conversation is always open. So it starts by not seeing prayer, or to stop seeing prayer, as this moment, time out in the corner. You know, I want to take my time out with God. Yes, that's good, but don't say, and that's what prayer is. It's got to be our life. He's involved in our life. So it's got to start, though, right? It's got to start in the morning. We talked about this last week. When you, Lord's Prayer, our Father, It's relationship in heaven. He's the Lord. How do you greet our Father when you get up? Remember we said there's two extremes. Is it over anxious? You know, when you pray, you over anxious, you over formal, you pray, you over mechanical. Or flip side, remember the doofy lion, is it overly complacent or overly impatient, like you're the one directing, or overly demanding, you know, like he's the uncle God we talked about. Because it's usually overly something, because that's just how we do down here, because we ain't all there. We're practicing righteousness while being made holy, the word sanctified, being made holy, sanctified. Remember the old tugboat and tanker? Remember, bump, bump, bump. That's what God's doing. We got to let him. And this is where the Lord's antidote comes in handy. Because the purpose, I'll just briefly sum up what we talked about last week. The purpose of the Lord's Prayer is to prompt a profoundly relational daily conversation with a divine dad. Which is why it must be personalized in private to work. Think of the Lord's Prayer like a heavenly Hallmark card. Jesus, here, you just add your own heartfelt expressions, you know? And so when we wake, we should affectionately greet our Father, submit to him as Lord. Literally, Lord just means master. He's our master. We're the slave. We're the servant. And then take some time, a lot of time. In fact, until our head hits the pillow again, to hallow his name. I want you to see what our Father / Master asks through the prophet Malachi. Very probing question. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Lord, if then, you know, our Father, if then I am a father, where's my honor? Where's that part of it? And if I am Lord, if I am a master, where's my fear? Do you fear me? Well, that's the stuff that shows up throughout the day in the way we use our words and actions around the people around us. But before we go any further, we just need to allow our Father to clear up a couple of things that are bothersome. Like, why does he refer to our relationship as a master? You know, Lord, master, and servant, slave. Care to comment, Father? He does. Well, you are all, and this means you ladies too, you'll see why in a moment, you are all sons of God. This would better be translated, you are all a son of God. It's what it says later in the chapter. You are all sons of God, or a son of God, through faith in Christ Jesus, the Son. There is neither slave nor free. You know, these are examples. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This means you are all one son in the body of Christ Jesus. He's the head. And if you belong to Christ, then with Christ and together with each other, you are Abraham's seed, which means you are heirs to everything God the Father has. So, and I like this line. So, what I'm saying is this. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, and we're called children, as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. Oh, let's read that together. As long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay. Well, that explains that. And look, it says, although he owns the whole estate, more literal translations say, even though he is master of all, some say, though he is Lord of all. Oh, okay. And that's because he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father, when we will not be children any longer. Okay. But why do you want us to fear you? That's always tripped people up. Why are you all about the fear? You often hear, have you heard this? You know, the fear of the Lord is this awesome reverence, right? That's kind of the standard. I've taught that. That's kind of the standard answer. And we can certainly use it that way, you know? But when we're using his word, shouldn't we let him define what he means when he uses the term? Because he does. And embarrassingly, not only does he define it in a way you would have never guessed because it's not in our dictionaries, he tells us to search for the meaning of it, for his meaning of it. It's in Proverbs. First, he urges us to seek the meaning. He says, if you search for wisdom as for hidden treasures, okay, then, and of course you'll find wisdom in his word, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And, well, you'll find the knowledge of God. You'll find the way he defines it. And sure enough, you just keep reading. That's chapter 2 of Proverbs. You just keep reading. 6 chapters later, suddenly, out of nowhere, wisdom shows up and starts comparing herself to treasures. And then she says, receive knowledge. You know, oh, the knowledge of God? Receive knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What? That's not in our dictionary. No, it's not. You got to search for it like a hidden treasure. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So that's how the wisdom of our Father defines it in his word. Think we can do that? Hate evil? That just seems, what's the word I'm looking for? It seems so, oh my goodness, what's that word? It's a common word. Here we go, we'll play a game. It's a common word, and it means like normal, expected, common sense. Oh, let's go with obvious. That seems obvious. No, not obvious. It's not obvious. It seems, it makes sense. What's a word for it makes sense? That seems. What? What is hallowed? You said, what is hallowed? You win. What is hallowed? That's really funny. Okay. Hate evil. There's the take home. Hate evil, okay? That's how you fear the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. Because, okay, I just got to get back to the sermon. Because to hallow him is to honor him as his children and to hate evil. To hate evil in all its forms. Because he's all good. Anything that's not him, you should hate because it's bad. But now, hold the phone, because I've always taught this as hallowing him, but hallowing his name is not the same as hallowing him. To hallow is simply to set something apart and cherish it as holy. It's holy, it's hallowed. It's why we refer to places like Pearl Harbor as hallowed ground. That's our hallowed ground. That's special to us, and it's cherished, and it's holy. We revere it for the lives that were laid down there. If you had a house fire, and if it was like 100 years ago, we might have said, oh yeah, they tried to save their most hallowed, now we would say probably cherished, keepsakes. And so of course we should cherish and revere the Lord as our Father enthroned in heaven. But hallowing his name specifically means to treat his name as holy. And so I was just asking myself, well, I was actually asking God in the word, why is that important? And there's some really good answers. Namely, because all the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Especially if you're a Christian, Christian, a follower of Christ. Hallowing isn't simply and only about expressing our love for our Father, our hatred of evil. We must also live a daily lifestyle that honors and exalts and glorifies our family name. It's our name. It is our Father's. It's ours. And so we certainly sing out the honor of his name and exalt his name together, because we, Lord, are called by your name.
But we must also make known his deeds. And that's called glorying. We must glory in his holy name. Let it be seen. Let it be known. So shine before others that they may glorify our Father in heaven, your Father in heaven. Because our family name is especially hallowed whenever we display his work in us to the world that surrounds us. And the opposite is sadly true as well. Like when, you may know the story, when Moses pitched a public fit of disobedience, struck that rock, and the Lord said, because you did not believe me, it means trust me, to hallow me in the eyes of the people, you shall not bring them into the land which I've given them. Same goes for you and me with the people he's placed along our journey to the promised land. And if you haven't noticed, he takes distrust and disbelief very personal, our Father, because disobedience comes from distrust and it unhallows his name. And that's how he draws people to himself. His name will be hallowed with or without us. He warned his chosen people that you shall not profane my holy name. But, like, even if you do, I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. Oh, that doesn't sound like it turns out good for us. No, I will make you an example. You know, even if you have to use him as a bad example, he's going to hallow it if he has to hallow it himself, which he does. Because that's how he draws the world to himself, which he did when he first scattered Israel among the nations and then regathered all these disobedient chosen children from among the nations. And he tells us why he did. Because when they came to the nations, they profaned my holy name. Basically, just by being conquered, everyone's like, oh, so your God isn't real. Your God isn't powerful. It doesn't work. It's like, well, that isn't going to draw anyone to the Lord. So when they came to the nations, they profaned my holy name when the nations said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they've gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, and I will sanctify, literally, I will hallow my great name. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord. Remember last week, your Redeemer. That's my name. When I am hallowed in you before their eyes and bring you back into your own land. And it's all about, because then they'll all know. Then they'll know that I am the Lord. And they'll realize, okay, that name is the name of the real God. So don't dishonor his name in the eyes of those around you, or you will profane the family name. And you might just be setting yourself up to be used as a bad example. Because he will be hallowed. You see, love must be sincere. So hate what is evil. Oh, there's the fear of the Lord right there. Look at that. It's the fear of the Lord. So hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And pray each day if you can. Hallowed be your name today. I mean, do it while you're brushing your teeth. It's work it into the fabric, okay? Don't make it be some big religious thing. Do you remember how much Jesus hated that stuff? Hallowed be your name today. Then personalize how you feel about being called by his name if you want, but more so, how you intend to honor the family name today by clearly, lovingly hating evil and putting him on full display. And then just pause for that moment. Just listen inside your head to hear in what way you might need to trust and obey throughout this day to be made more holy than yesterday. He'll tell you, you know, because hallowed be thy name, right? Like when the waitress brings you a sandwich with mayonnaise after you specifically told her to hold the mayonnaise. Hallowed be the family name? Yes? That's good. Okay, you're growing. You're growing. Yeah, and but when that driver took his turn at the four-way stop, when it was obviously your turn, hallowed be thy name. Not so much. That's okay if you're growing. He's given us his good name and left us in charge of hallowing it in the eyes of our world, whether at home or at work or at the grocery store after you gave her the coupon. And then you notice on the way to the car, she not only charged you full price, but twice. She must have hit the wrong button. Or even at the very poorly umpired ball game. I'll tell you, we should all pray without ceasing in all these situations, help me to hallow our name. Help me, Lord. Help me to give me strength to hallow our name. And by the way, we live in the world. You're going to hear every day Jesus' name, God's name, taken in vain, profaned by the world. Let them. Okay? They're the world. This is about when and where we profane our Father's name in any way, in word or deed, around them. Okay? I got to tell you, I mostly couldn't care less when it comes to the world's GDs and F-bombs. Okay? Because you can't clean a fish before you catch it. And when you try, you chase the fish away. No, this is about us. Because I'll tell you, I cringe when I hear believers just casually say, oh my God. Oh God. It's like, oh, it's fingernails on a chalkboard. Not because it offends me, but because using his name flippantly unhallows him. And so if that's you, no judgment, just don't ever do it again. Right. Isaiah, one of the greatest of God's prophetic spokesmen, right? He's the one that was sent to just basically tell everyone, they're bad. But he's one of the greatest spokesmen who ever lived. Yet when he saw our Father enthroned in heaven, which, by the way, John in his gospel says Isaiah saw Jesus on that throne. But when he sees him in the book of Isaiah enthroned in heaven, Isaiah cries out, woe to me! Woe to me! I am ruined! Forget about them! For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. He's supposed to be changing them. And my eyes have seen the King. So, like, where's his excuse? You see, in the presence of perfect purity and holiness, he's instantly, intensely aware of all the contamination of his culture and his own need as one who knows truth for God's mouthwash, which, if you know the story, was a live coal. Ouchie. But I have a story that kind of along these lines. When I was young, my friend's mother had a living room that had white wall-to-wall shag carpet and white couches and white drapes. And we never dared to go in that room. That room was terrifying. Because we absolutely hated, he had the sweetest mom, and we hated the idea of ruining her room, of staining it, of in some way, just us being in it, we knew would be bad. Well, here's the thing, is we consistently, privately, personally begin our day focused on his absolute holiness and separateness from sin. It doesn't take long to do. You just remember it and say a couple things. We become intensely aware of what in us unhallows him. What a way to start your day. That is good and right and healthy, because if it's unhallowing him, it's poisoning us. Because trying to find fulfillment down here without hallowing our Father up there is a deadly self-centered pursuit of oblivious self-glorification that will leave a wake of disappointment and regret, because there is no perfect or holy love or faithfulness down here other than what comes from up there. So, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love, your faithfulness. Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, Redeemer. And to the Father, at the end of his ministry, he said, I have made your name known to them. Because you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer is your name. So ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Surprising, striking connection between glorifying and hallowing the name of God, glorifying and hallowing the Word of God, because his name is the Word of God. He elevates it as truth to equal status with him. So it's time to begin to see his word as hallowed ground wherein we approach our hallowed Father to listen, to trust, to obey. Because hallowed be your name means trusted be your word. So how often do you hallow him when you start your day? Because something happens when we set him apart as the first and foremost, highest and holiest aspect of our day. We wake up again, a second time. We wake up to the sobering reality that we're not the center of our universe. He is. And with that launch for your day, we are far more likely to hallow his name throughout that day in all the eyes of those around us without ceasing. So let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and honor and exalt your name together. Holy Spirit, inspire us to guard and glorify our family name in the eyes of those around us. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for giving us and calling us by your holy name. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.